Hannah and Freya, you dirty girls.
Hi, and welcome back to an episode of Overshare
with slash triple XX. No, oh, Project Triple XX. Oh, I can't do it.
Why don't you guys introduce
me? Okay.
We're Project XXX. Hi. I'm Hannah.
Hi, Hannah. I'm Freya.
Hi. Brilliant start.
Yeah.
So this week we are like doing a collab. Because we met, realised our shows are similar but a little bit different.
Yeah.
So we
overlap with Overshare.
Yeah.
Oh,
beautiful.
Yeah.
So true.
So we're going to do an episode kind of merging what we all do into one beautiful podcast episode.
Yeah.
So would you like to introduce what you
this
do?
This is our beautiful baby.
Yeah.
Together. What do we do? We kind of wanted to do our show because we talked about sex all the time with each other and basically just wanted to talk to other people about it. But, like, also there was a lot of gaps in our knowledge, a lot of, like, crazy stories and kind of just things that you only learn from talking to other people and hearing it from other people. So we just wanted to, like, make something that people could listen to and be like, oh, I'm not a freak. Other people do that too. Other people do weird stuff and, like, hump their teddy bears when they were children, and it's all fine.
And as every millennial does when they chat about something a lot, they go, we should have a podcast.
We should have a podcast. And that's what we did.
See, I feel like Overshare is, like, the exact same, but a little bit more prudish.
Yeah. So we're kind of you, but, like, the teen,
yeah, exactly. Yeah, we're like a little bit more coy.
That's so important as well, though.
Yeah,
because I feel like our main episode that we talked about sex was mainly orientated around safe sex, so we did it with the, like, sex week at uni.
Yeah, we listened.
but yeah, that was kind of our main thing, the way we talked about sex.
Yeah,
where we mainly talk about dating but then kind of dip our toe in.
Yeah,
yeah. See, I think we're the other way around, where we talk about a lot of sex but not dating,
not that
very
much
often.
We don't talk about relationships a lot.
No. Because mostly we're like, nah, just fuck them. Yeah. Like, can we swear?
Yeah.
Okay, yes, yeah.
Of course, as just much as you em. Want.
Fuck them.
Fuck them.
Yeah, like,
but yeah, I think we want to talk about relationships too, because they're important and cute and fun.
Which is
cute.
Why we're kind of having that
overlap.
Yeah. Project Overshare.
Yeah.
That's a big title. Wow.
So I feel like we're going to talk about kind of a bit of a progression about going through, like, school, growing up generally, and kind of the relationship with sex, and kind of talking about sex ed, then talking about kind of puberty, things that got left out, I guess, in everybody's education, even. Like, I think everybody has certain things that were rumours around schools.
Oh, absolutely.
And then you kind of grow up and you're like, what the fuck?
Mm-hmm.
And then kind of talking about then moving on to uni and changing your relationship with sex and the progression of that.
Yeah. Yeah, what did we say the other day? That our show was basically just called, like, Growing Up Horny, the podcast.
Literally, though.
All we ever talk about is, like, how we were just
horny children.
Horny children, and how it's not allowed when we're just like, we just grew up horny from day. And it's,
honestly,
it's not fair. It's
I think so many more people were hornier than they said they were as children. I mean,
you don't as a child. Because
you don't even know that you are. You're just doing things that are natural to you.
Yeah.
And it's not like, I feel like horny is like this adult kind of stigmatized thing that you can only say to, like, your partner or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's a thing, kids kind of are.
Yeah, and then you grow up horny, and then you stay horny, and then you get to uni, and then you're horny.
I think particularly as a girl, like, I think it's something, for me, I feel like it's only really become normalised to talk about that. Like, definitely growing up, I was way more, like, aware of boys being horny younger.
Yeah, 100%.
And then girls just wanted a husband. Like, that was kind of my weird kind of...
Absolutely.
And then kind of growing up a lot more, you realise you're like, oh, that's actually just bullshit. Just...
Yeah. And I think it's interesting, like, I think both of our shows kind of address this, where it's like most women our generation are in, like, a rut where our mindset is very, like, open and probably, like, pretty sex positive. But we were probably not raised that way. Like society didn't raise us that way, so we're like in this weird headspace where we're like,
yeah, and it's hard I'm to so put like, it in practice.
Yeah, I'm like sexually liberated, but I have so much shame.
Yeah, and it's like self-education, I guess.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, it's something that we spoke about before when we were talking about safe sex, but also kind of being liberated, but not so much so that you think I'm gonna have like all the sex, even if I don't want it, I'm just gonna have it to prove that I can and to prove that I'm like sexually liberal.
Yeah,
but like actually understanding that being really liberal also means not having sex if you don't want to, and the power to literally
110%.
Say,
yeah,
I want to have sex with you.
Yeah, I think we're kind of part of it as well. Definitely. Where like you end up going like, you know, be a slut, do whatever you want, like it doesn't matter, blah 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 blah, which obviously like, you know, we stand for, I stand for, I think that's great, but like that's not the only way to be sexually liberated, that's not the only way to be open. Like you can have sex with nobody, but you can still be open-minded and sexually liberated. Like it doesn't matter what you're doing, as long as like the mindset is there, then it's gonna be good for you.
And I think it's like, I think everyone's kind of on their own journey of like navigating how they feel about it, because no one can tell you how you feel about it, and no amount of like learning about sex can really tell you about it. It can tell you more, but you kind of just gotta work it out for yourself, which is kind of the worst bit, but can be the best bit. Yeah,
so scary.
Yeah,
but yeah, there's like no real right or wrong way to be like sex positive or sexually liberated. I mean, obviously there's like some clear wrongs, but you know, but there isn't, what I mean? There's not like really a right way or wrong way. Like, you're not being sex positive wrong. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. You're not being open-minded wrong. So.
Yeah. Right, should we get into
sex ed?
Sex ed.
Our favourite.
So, I guess we're going to talk about our experiences of, like, sex ed in school and probably out of school. You probably talk about this all the time. I don't think I've...
We do.
We do.
The only time I've talked about what I learned in sex ed was when I spoke to Alex before he went on...
Oh, really?
...your show, yeah.
Oh, cute.
So, I think my only experience of sex ed was in year six, the girls and boys got separated... Girls learn about periods.
Mm-hmm.
I to this day realise I have no idea what the boys learn about.
This is why we wanted to get our friend Alex on our show, because we wanted to know what the boys learned, but he didn't even have that experience. Yeah, but the boys in my school did have that experience. So I want
to
know what.
I know. I need to like go on Facebook and stalk some people who went to primary school with me, like, excuse me, what did you learn as a separate mobile? Because we learned about periods and we didn't know what you were talking about.
And also, why didn't boys learn about periods?
Exactly.
Like, doesn't make any sense.
So I actually went to an all-girls school. I love it.
Dish to dish.
Yeah. So I never had that experience. All I knew was the girl side of it. Like, I remember once we had to watch this video and it was just naked people walking around a house, and then it was just like this man standing there and he just like stared dead in the camera and then he got an erection and I was traumatised.
What?
I was horrified. I went home and I was like, I'm done.
That sounds like horror movie-esque. You know, like, there's something scary about a fully naked person
just
staring point blank at you.
Because I think even if you really, really fancy someone, naked bodies are a bit weird.
Yeah, then staring you down nude and then getting an erection is so scary.
Yeah, it was absolutely horrifying. And I think I was in year six, because it was a
God.
Yeah. It was like a really old video, though. It was like a cassette tape.
Yeah, was it they like a 70s grainy?
Yeah, it was horrendous.
Oh, no.
And just this guy staring dead at the camera, and I was like, oh.
So did you?
Why did they think that was the best way to show a boner? There are so many other ways to show it that aren't just like showing you a boner.
Like a diagram, maybe.
A diagram shows you all you need to know.
A close-up sort of situation.
Yeah. More scientific. Yeah.
Rather than just probably some grainy 70s bush. So I remember
it. It was literally just like him staring dead at the camera and then it slowly zoomed in.
Jesus, that's worse.
When it was,
how did he do that on command like that?
It's pretty impressive.
Horny thoughts.
Yeah, I just didn't want to know.
So did you not learn anything about like male sexuality, male puberty?
No, nothing really. I think I went to an all-girls school all my life.
Yeah.
But I had brothers, two older brothers, so I don't think I was quite as like bubbles.
Yeah.
As a lot of my friends. And so people often say now, they're like, you don't seem like you're from like girl school. Like, you don't, I don't know. I think people expect them as soon as they see a boy to just be like, ugh.
But, you say that, but I used to know someone who went to an all-girls school and she once fainted when a boy kissed her.
Oh, fair play.
Because wow. she was like, a boy kissed me. She just like passed out on the street. And I was like, hun.
But he was a little bit buzzing.
Yeah, I bet he was.
If someone fainted from pure excitement that I kissed them, I'd be absolutely buzzing.
Yeah. Me too. But we were like 15 and I was like... Like,
15 feels old to have fainted from a single kiss.
Yeah, and also it's not like a Julia Roberts movie. Chill. Yeah. I'm just chill a like out. Spotty teen. It's not that exciting.
But I do think that from going to an all girls school, I think girls definitely like romanticize the whole image of boys because like we were never around them at school, so you never saw the like. I saw it when I went home and saw my brothers and their friends, and they were all grotty. But like all of these other girls, all they saw was just what they saw on TV. And yeah. then they just like look at that and be like, oh my god, this is amazing, they're all perfect, they're all lovely. And I think that that's somewhat kind of
must do.
Also I think girls at my school then moving on to secondary school after going through puberty and everything, I think they felt like they had something to prove, so they just were like, right, finger me, like straight off, like that was just like the aim. And then it was just like, who can get the furthest the far, like,
yeah,
it was almost impressive because I went to an all girls boarding school for a bit. So, like, if you managed to get a boyfriend, it was quite impressive because we never went home on the weekend.
You
saw boys, like, once a term. So it was like, if you managed to get anybody to, like, do anything with you, everyone would be like, wow, fair play.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of impressive, like, squeezing all of that, like, sexual
energy,
turning horniness into a very small window.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure.
Yeah.
I bet you get this question all the time, and I really apologise, but was there a lot of hookups in all-girls boarding school?
Not that I was aware of, but I was only there from year 7 to end of year 9.
Okay.
So I don't think I was there from, like, the majority of it. I knew of a lot of sixth formers that had affairs with teachers.
Oh, really?
Good Lord.
That's
highly illegal.
Yeah, I know, because one of the deputy heads got...
Oh my god, that was like a level up of the gossip I actually wanted.
So I remember, I think, I'm not sure if it's 100% true, but I remember when I left, a girl told me that someone gave him a hand job or something.
Yeah.
On the like sofa. Yeah, it was properly dodgy, and they'd been Snapchatting for ages.
Yeah. Oh my god, brilliant. An adult man.
An adult man Snapchatting a child. Yes. Great.
I used to Snapchat my geography teacher actually, after he wasn't my geography teacher anymore.
Why?
I don't know. He added me on Snapchat.
That's weird.
It is weird. Do you know?
No.
That is weird. It's weird now I think about it. When I was 16, I was like, lol, Mr. I'm not going to add him. But now I think about it.
You made a very good decision, though.
Weird.
Yeah.
Just weird.
Weird vibes.
Ew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
But kind of backtracking a little bit.
Yeah, sorry, that was absolutely sidetracked.
Kind of the progression of sex ed and the weirdness that is. Then going through puberty, what was the main like shock factors, the main key details that just they never even touch on?
Probably that your period is about 1,000 times worse than they make it out to be. Like, not, I mean, that sounds really dramatic, but just stuff they missed out, like period shits.
I
would have done with knowing that at a young age.
The fact that the blood isn't actually like red blood.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like occasionally, but most of the time it's just this sort of gloopy black like womb lining.
Also clots. I'm pretty sure when that first happened, I was like, cool, dying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, like, you can get really horny when you're on your period.
Yeah.
They didn't tell you that. I think maybe they were like, sometimes you can be aroused, but that doesn't mean anything to me as like at like 14.
Yeah, aroused is a very like abstract thing.
Unfortunately, you're gonna want to have sex the entire time.
Yeah.
And it's gonna kind of suck if you do, unless you put down a towel.
And period sex, to be fair, they never touch on that. Like, you're kind of under the impression that if you're on your period, you're like untouchable, you're disgusting, no one's gonna go near you. But like,
you just need to be locked away in like a tower somewhere. Like,
like
a red tent at least.
Yeah. Also, I think the way getting pregnant actually works, I only actually found this out maybe like a year and a half ago. The fact that you can't get pregnant all the time, And it's actually, like, relatively difficult to get pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And just how it all works and that you're actually on a cycle with everything, not just your period. I literally thought it was just, like, 28 days, you're on your period, that's all that's happening.
Mm-hmm. And your boobs change.
Yeah.
Like, the way your vulva looks completely changes as that's well.
That's mad.
Yeah. Your pH balance is all over the place.
It's
so
crazy. And I feel like all we were taught is just, like, you just bleed for a week and that's all mm-hmm. that your body is doing.
Mm-hmm. But also, I kind of wish they'd gone further into, like, contraception. Because all I got taught is, like, there's a pill and then mm-hmm. you're fine.
There's a pill or a condom. Yeah. No other options.
Exactly. Goodbye. And they then went into, like, okay, but actually you can have the coil and that doesn't necessarily mean that you're never going to have kids. It's mm-hmm. just something that you can get taken out. You can have the implant. There's so many different types of pills and stuff that you can go on. And you need to try a certain amount and kind of... like, prepare you for that. Also, menopause. I had no idea what that was until I was
that's such a good thing to say. I never even thought about that. And as soon as you said it, I was like, oh my God, I know nothing about menopause.
So, and I think people who don't have, like, a mum or, like, a mum figure in their life, how are you ever going to learn about it? Because that's the only way I know anything about it is from my mum telling me stuff.
Yeah, because also... because it's a thing that happens in your life as a woman later on, there never seems like... an appropriate time to teach you because you're like, why would you teach a bunch of like children about menopause? But really you should, because
what's the best time?
They're never gonna, as an adult woman, you're never gonna sit down in a room and be educated like you are at school
until it's like, you know, too late, 3 months in, and you're like, am I dying? And you go to the doctors and they're like, you got menopause, bye. Like,
but literally, I heard someone talking about this, and the reason that people said that they don't talk about it so much is because the whole sex education thing is pretty backward. I think it's kind of getting a bit better,
it's
maybe.
Getting there very slowly,
like crawling. But
absolutely.
In like the olden days, like women used to get menopause and then die.
Yeah.
It sounds really dramatic, but they used to get it and then die. So like there was no real need to go into like the after thing of it. But now it kind of happens halfway through your life.
Mm. Yeah.
So you need to be able to cope with it, because sometimes it lasts for people like 10 years or some people 20. And so if that's going to happen, there's ways that you can make it a lot better for yourself. But they're not talked about. Like,
Do you think it's like a sort of old people and sex thing?
Yeah.
Where they're like, well, you're old, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, goodbye.
Yeah.
Close the curtains. Like, you know, old people don't have sex, so that wouldn't matter. Old people don't really matter. If they're hot, that's fine. Like, do you know what I mean?
It's completely dismissive.
Old people don't matter if they're hot.
I think like hot flashes. Yeah. That's what I meant. I didn't say that very well. Or good looking. Yeah,
but like, I mean, there are some.
I don't know. Maybe that's kind of related to it. Where like,
you're kind of dismissed completely.
You're dismissed as an old woman.
Yeah.
I read this thing that kind of contrasted that. It was actually really interesting. It was this woman who went through menopause and said it was the most liberating thing because she no longer had like a biological function anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She felt really like free from it. And because like men don't ever have that, do they? They can constantly be reproducing and kind of doing that biological thing. But women can like tap out and be like, yeah, me too. I can do what I want.
That is liberating to be like, I'm my own body now. It's not just being used or like, it's not, just got the potential to like carry life.
Yeah, exactly.
It's actually my own body.
And I think because that's such a massive thing for women throughout the whole life. As soon as you get your period, it's like, we always say this, like you always kind of have to be thinking about pregnancy and babies and try to stop them.
110%. And then that, like swinging back around, that is basically what you're taught in sex education.
Yeah.
Is that like women's bodies, well, people who have wombs, they're made for carrying babies.
Yeah.
But, like, men have just as much chance of pregnancy through sex that people with wombs do.
Yeah.
They just not carry the baby, but it's still their freaking baby.
Yeah,
like,
there's no kind of taught responsibility on the male part. Yeah. It's just all, like, you're going to have this horrible thing for all of your life, and it's just going to get worse, and then you always have to worry about it. And then maybe you'll want it, and then you can't have it anymore. And it's just always kind of a threat. But I think maybe they need to... like educate in more of a positive way.
Yeah, I think sex education in general needs to have a bit more of a positive spin. Because still today a lot of it is quite focused on gross graphic pictures of STIs and being like, you will get pregnant and die, and being like, you know, all this kind of doom and gloom, rather than being like, sex is fun, sex is this, sex is like pleasure is important,
and it's a massive part of your life, and it's always going to be there, and it's something that actually should be celebrated, but just looked at in the right way, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. And like, even if you don't, you know, even if you grow up and you decide that you don't want to have sex ever, you should still learn all about it.
Yeah,
be taught it's normal, and it's still going to be part of your life every day. Like,
yeah.
And also that should be taught, the fact that the people that don't want to have sex, like, yeah. you're kind of, it's this really weird thing where they're like, you want to have sex because biology, and then they're like, freaks? Yeah. Freaks that don't want to have sex?
Yeah.
Like, you're not taught that sex is for pleasure, but you also, well, can be for pleasure, but should be pleasurable, mm-hmm. always. But then you're not taught that, like, there is a possibility that you wouldn't want kids,
yeah. Yeah.
or sex, yeah. or like anything like this. Like, women are kind of taught as well, like, when you're younger, you're like, whoa, 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 protect yourself, you don't want a baby. And then as soon as you get to like mid-20s, late 20s, they're like, where's your fucking baby? Like, there's this yeah. like 10-year period where they're like,
so
they're like, protect yourself, don't get one of those boys to, it's your problem if you get pregnant. Yeah. And then as soon as you reach a certain age, they're like,
yeah.
You're still using protection? Excuse me.
Do you know how bad that is for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's gonna ruin your body. Yeah.
I also think it's interesting that, like, if sex was taught more positively, would I potentially feel more empowered, like, previously to realise when sex wasn't good for me?
Mm.
Because I think if sex is taught in a negative way, if I have bad sex, then am I just okay with that? Do you know what I mean? If, like, because sometimes, like, we've spoke about this, but, like, looking back, you're like, oh, maybe I didn't want to have that sex sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was taught it was supposed to be a positive thing from, like, day one, maybe I'd realise when it wasn't and be able to kind of have my own boundaries a little bit better.
Because I think we are, I mean, this is, like, a general statement kind of about, like, women. We're kind of taught that sex is done to us.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Rather than us being a part of it.
Yeah.
So I think when sexual experiences do go not to plan or do go a bit like awry, we're kind of like, oh well, you know, it happens. Sex is kind of done to us, like, blah blah blah, rather than being like an active participant and being told we can be an active participant and it's just as much our sex as it is the other partner or partners.
There's an
experience,
there's a lot of tropes of like traditional male female heterosexual couples of like the woman doesn't really want the sex but she'll do it because
she'll be persuaded by diamonds
like, oh, you know, if you make a laugh you get her into bed, but like this was horrible thing on Instagram that was like maybe you showed me, Freya, it was about like if the husband did a certain amount of chores, like if he did a certain amount of chores, she'd like give him a blowjob. But it's just like, it shouldn't be a weird reward for a man. Like, sex should be something that you both want to have. Yeah. Like withholding, like there's this idea that women can like withhold sex because
they don't really need it. They can go forever without it. Yeah. Like,
And not also, true.
Not true.
Also, this idea that like when dating someone, just don't have sex with them for a while and then they'll fall in love with you.
Yeah.
Not true. You can shag someone within the first hour of meeting them, and it's probably not going to affect anything.
Yeah. Like, whether it anyway, because if they view that, if they then think, oh well, she's just that person.
Yeah.
Then they've got something. They put you into the category. It's kind of like, it's said that women traditionally were either categorised as the virgin
or the whore.
Like in biblical times.
Yeah.
And that still kind of makes a plane. It's the same kind of way. If you shag someone and then they're like, right, well, she's a whore.
Yeah.
Rather than be, but I want to, like, I want to have a girlfriend who's the virgin.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
But I also want her to be really kinky as soon as she's my girlfriend. And you think, like, well, that's not possible.
This is
okay.
Virgin whore.
That's literally the whore. Yeah, the virgin whore complex. They're like, they want a virginal housewife in the kitchen and like a whore in the bedroom.
Yeah, and you just think,
cool. It's like, this is literally something me and the person I'm dating at the moment, we spoke about this because we did not wait that long. And we were saying about how, like...
didn't.
No, it was scandalous.
I didn't know you weren't a virgin.
Oh, my God.
Ew!
Oh, God.
Burn the witch.
I can't remember what I was talking about. We were just saying how... We were like, but we both wanted to, so why would, like... if it wasn't going to work out, that would have nothing to do with anything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's just not how everyone's brain works. Like, some people really do have that, like, they disassociate from someone once they've done that. I'm like,
And that's on them.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
They need therapy.
Some people have like more complicated relationships with sex where like they feel they need some sort of security before they have sex, mm-hmm. and that's like 100% fine, yeah. like if that's what you need. But I feel like people should talk about the fact that like people do have different relationships with sex mm-hmm. a lot more, because I think everyone's kind of taught that like you're horny, you want to have sex, but some people want to have sex but they don't want to straight away. Like some yeah. people do like to wait because like for sex, for them, sex can be something that you need to be very, very comfortable around mm-hmm. someone for.
Yeah.
And what even is sex?
Exactly. What even yeah. is sex? Yeah. It could like, be anything.
Yeah, is so true. Going back to someone's house and making out with them and then staying the night sex? Like, you had an intimate time, you shared a space, you had, like, yeah. a lovely time, you touched each other, kissed... That could be sex I mean, for some people.
Honestly, sometimes like a make out on a dry hump is more intimate than yeah. a full blown penetrative yeah, sex session. I love a make out on a dry hump.
And a red wine afterwards. Oh.
That's sex. That's sex to
it's
me.
Better than sex. It's yeah, so true because sure. it's like, I feel like, especially going back to the sex ed thing, sex ed is very much like penis and vagina is sex.
Yeah.
But it's like, I've had way better sexual experiences doing nowhere near that to mm-hmm. like...
And also that doesn't even bring queer sex into...
Exactly.
No, you're never taught any consideration. Anything about that. It's just yeah. like, this is what you need to know in biology. And then there's this whole other side of it that you can dabble in if you want to.
Experiment
but like,
around.
We aren't talking about
your
that.
Thing, yeah, you know? And we're not going to teach you about that. We're not going to teach you about anything to do with
sex. It's not considered something yeah. that's dangerous. That could, well, not dangerous, but something that you could get STIs from, which of course no. you can.
Yeah,
and they just completely like gloss over it. Yeah. And even though LGBTQ plus education in schools is now mandatory.
Yeah,
they have to do it. That it's got no regulations of what needs to be said.
No,
so you could just be like. Gays exist, the end. Like,
yeah.
You
can't yeah.
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 And now we flip over. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, like, rubbish. There's nothing to do with that. But there's also nothing to do with any kind of oral sex or anything like that. Which,
yeah.
you get STDs.
Yeah.
Yep.
Basically, when I was in secondary school, we had, like, our citizenship, RE, PSC, geography / science teacher yeah. who taught us about sex ed.
It's not the guy who Snapchat, is it?
No. No. Oh, I feel weird. I'd forgotten about all about... Anyway, that's not important. He showed us these sort of videos from, like, the early 2000s, late 90s about, like, teens having sex, and it went through, like... an alphabet maybe of just the different things
yeah.
And it had like fun skits with bad actors who were probably that's in their bad. Like mid-20s
yeah.
And then there was this whole bit about oral sex and then he just went skip. He was like, gives you cancer, skip. So crazy. Like, can you get throat cancer from oral sex? I mean, maybe you can.
Is it HPV?
Yeah, you can get HPV, you can get herpes but as well.
But to completely skip over it, like, you can have, like...
Yeah.
Oral sex is still a thing that people are going to have.
I mean,
whether you tell them, whether you tell them it has cancer or not, you need to give them some education.
Yeah. Or, like, I mean, maybe it probably, it like, increases in some statistic, but so does going out in the sun.
Yeah.
And you can just put on sun cream, and you can just put on... a condom.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. to completely skip over any you know what I mean? Like, oral sex is actually more dangerous than yeah, talking yeah, about it.
Yeah. It's a bit like, I remember I was thinking about that because I was taught about boys masturbating, but I wasn't taught about girls masturbating. So I was showed a video, and it was, I think, not the same video, and it was like this teenage boy, and he was doing something underneath his, like, duvet,
mm-hmm.
and he was, like, holding a magazine, and then his mum, like, knocked on the door, and he was like... And that was kind of it. And I was just like, okay, so that happens. I'm not really sure what's going on there. And they were like, okay, yeah, so that's boys masturbating.
Very informative.
And I was just like, okay, cool. So they just kind of like flapped around the duvet.
If anything, that's like a video to show that masturbation's shameful.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Showing that your mum's going to come in at any
moment. Yeah, you're going to get
yeah, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, and that kind of whole Red idea. Flags. Yeah. So weird, so messed up. But there should definitely be more talk like...
Yeah, I just think it's mad that, like, we were to think that our parents didn't know we were going to be masturbating or weren't like, mm-hmm. or like,
because
like if I'm a parent, I'm going to be aware of it and mm-hmm. I don't really care. Like, yeah, you do you.
Yeah. Yeah. Literally, you do you.
Yeah, it's crazy. That, I mean, I think there's kind of talk about it, but it's not very popular, but they want to bring out like a GCSE in sex education where you have to take an yeah. exam at the end to show that you have taken things in and remembered them.
Oh my god. Yes.
And also I think it'd be so great if like some cocky dude, like teen guy, mm-hmm. failed his sex GCSE yeah. and he'd been cocky the entire yeah. time yeah. and then you failed it. Oh, it just, that brings me joy.
Yeah. It really does. There are lots of boys at my school.
He would have failed.
He would have failed. Yeah. I would have loved it. I would have revelled.
I know some people that I've met like this year who probably failed their sex
GCSE. Yeah, 100%.
I think I probably would have when I was 16, but that's due to my sexual education.
Well, yeah, yeah. I probably would too, yeah. But I think that'd be like to do a full curriculum of sex education, giving it the time, the yeah. energy to cover all these subjects, making sure people really learn about it, really kind of gets into their head.
Yeah.
And
like revising sex, yeah, isn't that such a nice
sex.
Thought?
Yeah, revise like
mom's house. I'm like, no, you're not allowed to do that. It's for sex education.
We're gonna go
yeah.
do some study.
Love
exactly.
It.
Oh my god, that'd be great.
One of the major things I wrote in my notes about things I wasn't expecting with puberty was discharge. Right,
yes.
So I have a very very vivid memory of the first time I ever like spotted some discharge. I think it was when I had my first period, so TMI, it was a little bit brown. Googled
yeah,
it.
Sometimes it is.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's like dry old blood.
Yeah.
Yum. Googled it, and I was like, fuck, I'm going to die. And literally, because nothing on Google comes up about that. I obviously wasn't Googling the right stuff, because I obviously didn't understand what was going on.
Yeah.
I didn't know the word discharge. It just came up with, like, you're pregnant, you're going to die.
Great.
And I was like, I'm pretty sure I'm not pregnant. but it's just mad. No one ever mentioned that to me.
No.
Like, it's
someone told me that you get discharge before your period, but then it was kind of said that as soon as you have your period, then that just stops.
Oh.
And so I was kind of then like, ooh,
yeah,
I must be really abnormal, something's yeah. really really going on here.
Yeah.
But it's never really taught that that's just kind of
yeah.
a part
it can
of
just
your yeah.
whenever.
Exactly.
It's just what your body does, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's
yeah.
just getting all that bad stuff out
yeah.
of your vagina.
Yeah.
Like another thing we were not taught, which was also a learning experience through puberty and like still to this day, is how to clean your vulva properly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, or like your genitals in general, because
yeah.
a lot of guys or people who have penises have no idea how to clean them
yeah.
properly.
Yeah.
To be fair, if I had a bully, I'd have no idea how to clean it.
I mean, I only know now because I've looked it up.
Yeah.
But like,
you're supposed
as
to put
in, like,
it back,
this
aren't
year,
you?
Yeah. So like, pull back your foreskin.
Yeah.
Give it like a good wash round just with water.
Okay.
No soap.
Because
I used soap for so long, like probably until I was about 16, 17.
Femme Fresh can
it don't,
do one.
Just
it's
don't.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Like,
it just gives you thrush.
Yeah,
it?
Literally.
Yeah.
It messes up
that's
the pH
balance. That's
another
thing that nobody tells you about.
Thrush.
Yeast
infections, UTIs as well.
I remember I got thrush, I was genuinely like, I think I'm dying from the inside because it just hurt so bad.
Yeah.
So I remember I had my period at the same time, and so I put a tampon up,
that's
as usual.
Time.
And then I was walking around and I just thought that
oh,
something was actually,
honey,
yeah, killing me.
I can like imagine like, how that felt.
Yeah, me too.
I just
yeah.
crossed my legs.
Yeah, yeah, I was like, I didn't think I could walk around and I felt really weird about it because I was like, I have no idea what's going on. Something really bad must be going on.
Yeah.
And then I was like, to my mum, mum, I don't really know. And she's like, oh, you just got thrush.
Yeah, my mum told me. My
yeah.
mum like, I think it was a UTI, not thrush, that I got. And I was like, mum, it's all going wrong. Everything down there is going wrong. And she just like handed me a glass of cranberry juice and was like, that's
not
a UTI. Like,
this is
that doesn't work.
Does it not?
What?
No. Cranberry juice is not something you should... I mean, you can drink it when you've got a UTI. Like, it's not going to do any harm.
It's just not a cure.
But it's not actually going to fix it. It was. I mean, you'd have to drink... I think it's... There's probably... I think there's some antioxidant in it that does help.
Mm.
But you'd have to drink a lot of cranberry juice, so it's best just to get some of those little sachets.
The good
yeah.
thing about that rumor about it is though that people end up drinking a lot of cranberry juice, peeing a lot, and then you're actually just peeing out the infection, which is good.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Interesting.
That
so,
makes sense.
So.
Top tip.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember the first time I got thrush. I got a hot thrush UTI combo.
Ooh,
and I was
crossover.
On a holiday in Cornwall.
Yeah.
at 16.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
because I'd gone for an STI test because I
I was with my first boyfriend, and then I got like a call when I was in Cornwall being like, you don't have any, you don't have any STDs, but you do have thrush. Oh, I didn't know they could even test for that.
Yeah,
that's
mad. So I had to be like, Mum, the doctor just told me I have a thrush. Can we go to the pharmacist? And then the pharmacist was like, do you think you're pregnant? And I was like, do not think so. He's like, he listed like all the reasons you could have thrush. Yeah. I don't know why. And he was like, vigorous sex. My mum just was
you
like,
just sat next to your mum, like, brilliant.
My mum just was like,
not just normal.
Excuse
sex,
me.
Vigorous.
Well,
get it from normal sex.
Yeah,
like,
no, I think you
can. What
I
would
think
like?
It can just trigger it.
Yeah,
you can get it from it, yeah. Nothing. You can just, your body can just.
I
be
remember
like,
I when I used to get it quite young. I think I got it when I sometimes when I was like 14. I think I just got it from wearing tights and
yeah.
then just wearing
yeah.
like pants and always sleep and stuff and just wearing
unbreathable
like,
material.
Yeah,
pants.
Yeah.
Like you should. You should wear cotton underwear.
I've got the nicest pair of like ugly cotton pants.
Yeah, all my pants are huge.
Yeah,
they like come up under my tits
yeah.
and they're like cotton and they're from Marks and Spencer.
Excellent.
Oh, the best ones.
Yeah.
yeah.
I do think I'm fully blessed in like, I'm probably jinxing all of the vagina problems, but I've never had a UTI and I've only had thrush like once or twice.
I never had a UTI.
Oh.
I think I've had thrush about twice a year since I was 14.
No. Damn. So I've never had thrush and like, knock on wood, I've never had an STI either. But
you know
I
you can give your, a boy thrush as well.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yes.
Like,
I didn't realise this until like yesterday. Because my friend gave her boyfriend thrush.
Yeah.
What a gift.
Yeah, I think it's
Happy
like
Christmas.
Yeah. I think
it kind of builds up all around like
yeah.
Their,
yeah, I think it can like be a bit
penis.
yeah.
Ooh, biology.
Yeah.
I think it gets a bit gunky and stuff.
Yeah, they're gonna get the same sort of like discharge situation.
But I think it's more unusual, so then when that happens they just think they're dying.
Yeah.
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 Or they have an STI.
Yeah.
That's always fun. I think it'd be nice to know like, is this an STI or is this thrush?
I also think thrush can be transferable orally as well.
Can
yeah. Yeah, so if you go down on someone who has got thrush, then you have a risk of getting infected, I think.
And the same with STIs as well.
So how does it affect you if it's orally? Does it
I
you just get a sore throat?
I think you can get like
I'm going to Google it.
yeah, I'm really sure.
No.
Orally transfer.
Also, another thing that shocked me in puberty was how my boobs changed throughout the month.
Okay, yes. Mm.
Because they get
yeah.
bigger, they get smaller, they get really sore, they feel like little clouds sometimes where they're just super soft.
Yeah.
Sometimes my nipples are just erect for like 3 days straight.
Yeah.
What
I didn't know that was
that
a thing.
About?
Yeah. like standing to attention.
No one tells you they're ever gonna change at all. Like
no,
I never knew this.
I just got told they get bigger and then that's kind of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
and yeah, when you get pregnant,
I didn't
they
even
get
that
bigger.
Bit.
Did you not?
But like literally, I'm pretty sure nothing boob related was talked about. I don't think.
Really?
Yeah, I don't remember a lot of boob stuff being talked about.
Assumably they must have said it. Cause like
yeah, they must have done.
That's kind of a given.
Maybe you just kind of don't really
I just yeah, maybe it's maybe I don't remember.
I think
it,
a lot of more traumatic things were talked about, so at the time you were probably more like ugh.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah.
Yeah. They should
I
warm.
Think I wish for sure, without telling it too deep, that I was taught more about hormones.
Yeah,
because I've got PCOS,
okay,
and
yeah.
I've got kind of it very extremely.
Oh,
so
yeah,
I'm like,
sorry.
Oh no, it's all right. It's all right. But
I know it can be rubbish.
Yeah, it's really shitty. But I was not taught about like hormone problems. So I wasn't taught about what to be aware of and like
mm-hmm.
how much it can affect you. Like I did an episode on it, so I'm not gonna repeat it. But mm-hmm. just stuff like losing your hair, like feeling really down,
mm-hmm.
and like. Even like the cancer risks that it has and all of that and like not being able to lose weight or anything.
I don't actually know what that is.
PCOS.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's polycystic ovary syndrome.
Oh, actually I have heard of that.
Okay.
I just have never heard the abbreviated.
Sure, no, yeah.
Yep,
it
thank you.
And also just like really weird periods and how and kind of just like I mean a lot of people have it, like 1/4 of women have it.
Yeah, it's really common.
So but like obviously in different variations. And some I know a girl who just suddenly grew a beard and she was just like, oh my god, what is happening to me? And it was just because her hormones were wrong, so her testosterone was really high.
Yeah.
And she thought that something really, really bad was going wrong. She thought she was turning into a boy, but not. Do you know what I mean? Because like no one tells you that that could happen.
Yeah, and I think I don't ever remember learning until probably very, very recently that women have testosterone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, like, you hear, not just necessarily through school, but just in general.
Pop,
like,
culture.
Society.
Yeah.
That men are testosterone, women are
estrogen. Estrogen.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you kind of get told nothing else. But, like, women have very high levels of testosterone. Obviously, yeah, not as high as, yeah, men, but they and have, they have different levels, well, and it, yeah, all goes into different, like, bits for, yeah, everyone. And then
men have estrogen as men well. Men
have estrogen as, yeah, well, yeah. And, like, yeah, you're just never, we're told these, about it.
We're, mm, not these, like, stark opposite beings.
No, there's, yeah, not that binary. Like, men and women are not black and white,
yeah,
like, at all. And obviously that goes into, like, never being taught about gender identity,
yeah,
or, yeah, trans or anything. But then, like, when was I in high school? In, like, 2008, 2009 was in high school. So, and then when I was doing sex ed in primary school, that was probably, like, 2006.
Yeah.
So, like, it wasn't even part of the discussion.
Mm.
But I hope it is now.
Yeah.
Or something.
And also, like, we're talking about hair and, like, the beard thing. Like, you're not really taught as much about hair, and especially how it's, women get hair in, yep, all the places that, yep, men do.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
But it's kind
sometimes
of,
sometimes get a rogue hair. Yeah.
It's kind of seen as, like, unnatural still for some, yeah, reason. But,
yeah,
I mean, I get a little moustache. Mm. I get hairy nipples. Oh, I have a snail trail. I get hair on my toes. Like,
yeah. The only thing, my mum's pretty open about sex and stuff, but never, I think when I was younger, she didn't really want to traumatize me or anything, or be the parent that's like, have sex, and then I'd, yeah, be like, I don't want to have sex because my mum wants me to. Yeah, so that was kind of mom. Yeah, swing the other way. But she just did give me a book called Hair in Funny Places.
Oh wow.
Which was actually really good, because then when I got hair, I wasn't really weirded out by it. It, yeah, went into, like, getting it on your belly button maybe, or, like, even like getting it on your nipples, getting it on your toes. Like, it was just completely, it was just, oh, like, so it was like good. A girl and a boy, and a boy was like, I get it down there, and she was like, I get it down there too.
Oh, no, really,
that was quite, yeah, nice. I was remembering year six, so I was just like, oh, this is great. But although I didn't get body hair until really late, but because I was at boarding school, a lot of girls were shaving really early. Mm. So in, like, start of year nine, pretty much everyone I knew was shaving, but I had, like, blonde underarm hair, like, yeah, the dream. But yeah. I then shaved off because I was like, well, this is,
everyone else,
yeah,
is
everyone
doing,
else is,
yeah,
shaving, so I need a razor.
You
so I was
cool.
shaving it until then it went black, so
oh no,
I wish somebody just said stop.
Don't do it. Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
yeah, yeah, I'm sure I used to have, like, beautiful blonde leg, yeah, hairs gone.
Mm-hmm.
I remember shaving my pubes for the first time when I was literally about 13, because everyone else was doing it, and I remember I was, like, friends with this group of girls, and they were like, oh yeah, like, I shaved my vagina, like, I shaved my blah 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 blah, and I was like, oh yeah, me too, and I was thinking, oh my, I have to shave my vagina?
Yes.
I
was like, crazy.
And I went home and, like, stole a razor, like, from my parents' bathroom and then shaved, and I was like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened, yeah, to me.
Genuinely.
Why is everyone doing this? It, yeah, took hours. because it was, you know, it does. And
if you,
oh God, it hurt for days.
Yeah,
I got,
yeah,
such a massive rash as
when
well.
You don't have to shave. You fuck up. Mm. Like, main thing I wish I learned was, like, don't go against the grain.
Don't go against
the grain. It's not worth it.
No.
No amount of, like, clean shaving is worth the horrible pain if you make that error.
And the best I've now learned since then, in, like, 10 years later, I've now learned, baby oil is really good to shave with,
oh, really?
on your pubic area, because,
okay,
it's just very soft. Coconut oil as well.
I've used coconut,
yeah,
oil, yeah.
And if you get a flannel and run it under really, really hot water and then press it against, like, your mom's pubis, after you've shaved, then it'll be really good at, like, yeah, drawing out ingrown hairs. And it will stop it. Well, it won't completely stop it, but it will help with, like, the rash afterwards.
The rash.
No, it did. Like, but, like, also I learned all of that, and then I went, that's a lot of effort, and I've let them grow out since then and just trim them.
Yeah, I don't shave anymore.
I remember the first time I shaved it, and it was just covered in ingrown hairs, and I just thought, how is this any better?
And it's, like,
it's just horrible. Like, it looks like, yeah, carnage is horrible. I don't understand why anyone would want to go me in this than just like a bit of hair.
Yeah.
There's nothing less sexy than explaining to someone you're going to sleep with that, no, it's not herpes, it's an ingrown hair.
Or like, no, yeah, I'm fine, that's just a massive razor rash.
Yeah. That's
you can't catch it.
I don't want anyone to touch me when I've got a massive razor rash. It's like,
it's so sore.
Ugh. Also, cheap razors are just not worth it.
I mean, do what you want with your pubes, but honestly, yeah, letting them out and trimming them is like a revolution.
It's the ideal way.
Yeah.
It's hot. 70s push is back.
It's so back. I love it. I remember like my traumatic pube story when I was
love that title.
My traumatic pube story when I was like 11, 12, because I hit puberty very young. I was 10 when I got my period for the first time.
Uh-huh.
And I was basically a fully formed woman by 13.
Mm-hmm. I've looked like this since I was about 13, 14.
Me the fuck too.
Same boobs, same butt, like everything.
Yeah.
I hit like 17.
I went down for a sleepover and I had like a full bush by 12. Like genuinely dark, curly, full bush. Yeah. That we were pantsing each other, you know, kegging.
Oh, no, it's so embarrassing if you had a full... No. Feeling embarrassment for you.
I was wearing pants and pyjama trousers, but when they pulled it down, they pulled it down with such vigour that my fucking entire vagina and vulva and all of my pubes are out. And everyone was like, ew! And I was so ashamed.
Oh, Hannah, baby Hannah,
I know! So and then I went in shame. And it was awful. But now I have a full bush and no one can stop me. So fuck y'all.
I'm so sorry that happened to baby Hannah. That makes me cry.
I just sad.
Everyone was really mean to me.
Especially it's like your first experience of like showing,
because no one had any pubes, or if they did, they only had a little bit, or maybe they were shaving it by then. But I just, it never really like crossed my radar to touch them,
especially
because because it's not like normal to, do you know what I mean? Not like natural, it's obviously normal, but it's not like a desire we have biologically to shave up pubes.
And also, like, you know, it protects your vulva, it stops dust and things like getting inside, and you know, it is good for you.
It looks nice as well. Like, I think...
Well, it looks like... I remember the first time I shaved, I just shaved everything. So it's just like, this all has to go now. And you just feel like... I remember I was like, I'm a child now. This is weird. Yeah. Like, why am I meant to look like a baby?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it looked so bizarre. Like, looking in the mirror, I was like...
Yeah,
I look like a kind of a Barbie.
Yeah,
it's just smooth.
Yeah, I
fully get what you mean, but I also am a big fan of being a little hairless mole rat. I don't know why I like it. I just feel soft and...
You do,
I, like,
yeah.
Shave my legs and then you get into bed and you're like, yes.
I love a leg.
Yeah.
I
feel like a skinless whale.
Yeah, I do, but get the appeal,
like,
but...
I feel like I should maybe try growing them out and see how I feel about it, because I genuinely, I don't think I've ever had full-length pubes.
I mean...
Which is mad,
the
but...
The beauty about pubic hair is that if you don't like it, you can just shave them back off.
Yeah. So true.
Exactly. It doesn't matter.
Well, I might treat myself.
Treat myself and grow them out for Christmas.
Bush. Yeah. My own Christmas
bush.
Tree.
Yeah.
Aww.
A little seasonal bush. Yeah. That's so cute. Yeah.
Beautiful. So as part of Overshare, we always kind of answer people's dilemmas.
Yes, I'm very excited.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to be like an agony aunt.
Yeah, I don't know.
You give off agony aunt vibes.
Thank you.
Yeah, you definitely
Thank
do.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, stop.
I don't know how good we are at the advice, because sometimes my brothers or something have listened to the advice and they just said, that is the worst advice ever. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, if a girl did that to me, I would actually just dump them on the spot.
You know what? Sometimes people just want someone to listen.
Yeah.
And any advice is good.
Yeah,
definitely.
Well, that's why I sound like an agony aunt, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I say stuff like that. Yeah.
Right, okay, so okay. The first one's short this week. Shagged a girl and started bleeding, and she started bleeding everywhere. How was I meant to respond?
I think this is interesting because they clearly seem like grossed out by it. They just want to know like how should I deal with this?
I think it's quite nice. There's a common misconception that you'll only bleed the first time you have sex.
Yeah, which is not. Yeah.
And then that's it.
Yeah,
which is not true. Which can probably maybe boys are taught that as well, which would mean that then. Maybe there's a conception that if that happens, they were a virgin beforehand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a massive misconception.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I think there's only one time that I have not bled.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but that's a me thing. So, I know that, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now I know that, and so I'm able to deal with it. But I remember the, like, third time, I was like, what is going on? Like, this isn't meant to happen. So I was like, the second time, I was like, oh, maybe this is just, like, getting the rest out, you know?
Yeah.
Like, maybe this is just... But most of the time, still, it triggers my period.
And sometimes it does for me, yeah, as well.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Well, I mean, to get a little, like... scientific-y for a sec, the hymen, which I think a lot of people know now, can break at any time. Some people are born without one. It can break from using tampons, from riding a horse, riding a bike.
Yeah,
all sorts.
I broke mine on horse riding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then also, I probably shouldn't have said the word break, because it doesn't actually break. It's a really like thin membrane, and basically it just stretches.
Oh.
It stretches out away from your cervix. But sometimes it can kind of grow back in just a little bit around the sides if the first time you had penetrative sex didn't necessarily like push it all the way out. Does that make sense? Stretch it all the way out. So then sometimes it can get caught again and can bleed because it's kind of stretching. So actually it is quite common, especially if there hasn't been enough warm up, like if the person isn't wet enough. That can cause it. If that happens, lube.
Yeah.
If it's happening to someone a lot and they don't know why, I'd say lube is a good idea because it could be that they're just not wet enough, and that's nothing to do with you. Some people just don't get that wet.
Yeah.
So lube is a good shout. Put down a towel if it happens a lot as well.
I think in terms of how to respond, just like speak to the person you're sleeping with. Be like, are you okay? Because sometimes you can bleed during sex and feel fine.
Yeah.
Which is a weird one. Because I remember it once happened to me, and the guy I was with was like, are you on your period? And I was like, no, I think it's just one of those things. And he was like, are you sure? And I was like, yes, I know the difference.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think just don't be weirded out by it.
Yeah.
So you should just be like, oh, there's a bit of blood.
Yeah. As long as,
and then,
you're absolutely, as long as you're just nice about it and you're just like, you good? Is this a thing? Are you fine? Should we carry on or should we not carry on? It's up to you. As long as she didn't freak out and say, ew, gross, ugly, blood.
Yeah, I'd be like, I think you're dying.
And I think that just goes with anything that kind of crops up unexpected when you're having sex and you kind of see a fluid that you didn't expect. Then you've just got to be like, are you okay? Do you still want to go?
Yeah.
I don't mind if you don't mind. But if you mind, that's fine. Like... Or if you mind, just be like, oh, I'm not sure if I'm very comfortable while you're bleeding, but we can cuddle, we can do other stuff, we can make out. You know, like, it doesn't need to be a drama.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's like, it's okay also to the person who's brought this in. If you are a little bit grossed out about it or whatever, like, as long as you don't make a scene about it, it's fine for you not to be okay with it as well. Because people just don't like blood.
Just be respectful.
If
it... Just imagine if it was happening to you, and you'd probably be quite embarrassed, and you wouldn't want someone to then shout at you
or point at you
and go,
"Ew."
So yeah, but it does sound like they didn't say in their message like, "Oh, I did this, and this, and it was really bad." They're like, "How should I have responded?" No. Which is a good thing in itself because
definitely.
It means you're looking to improve.
Yeah.
So top marks.
Yeah.
Improvement.
Top marks.
Our next one was from, it's a relationship one, kind of. They were asking, how long should you wait after a relationship before sleeping with someone else?
I think that's completely up to you. Yeah. I mean, if you feel ready the same day to sleep with someone else, then
go for it.
I mean, if you're just sleeping with someone because you feel like you ought to, like because you feel like, oh, the only way to get over someone is to get under someone,
maybe not.
I think it has to be something that you... really want to do. It shouldn't feel something you feel like you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's there is no correct amount of time. I mean, if you were talking about it from like, if you think it might hurt the person you were just with, I suppose that's also something you need to factor in. If it wasn't like a horrible breakup or like there were whatever reasons, or, it could hurt the other person. But
your intentions for wanting to sleep with another person.
Yeah.
Maybe too soon after you've broken up. Like, if you're doing it to hurt the person you've just broken up with, then you should have a rethink, because
also it'll have a negative effect on you anyway.
Yeah,
I think that sometimes if you do something like that, then the next day you would feel bad about yourself.
But
maybe.
Then at the same time, I feel like, you know what, I'm ready. Like, yeah, exactly. I know we only just broke up, but you know, maybe you hadn't had sex in a long time, or maybe it just wasn't there.
Yeah,
maybe it's just like a one night stand, and you're kind of like, whoops, was that too soon?
Yeah,
but if you enjoyed it. And you felt like it was the right time for it, and no one else is really getting hurt, then go nuts.
Yeah, as long as you're not hurting the person you're then sleeping with as well, because it's never nice to be someone's sort of rebound.
Unless they're down.
Yeah. Unless they're aware of the situation. I think just whenever you feel happy and comfortable and desire to have sex again with somebody new,
I think
go
it's
for
just
it.
Exactly the same as when you're dating someone. Like, if you're dating someone, there's no correct time to have sex for the first time. It's not like a time limit. It's not like after 3 weeks it's okay, but if you have it before that, you're a whore. It's exactly the same.
Yeah, like when I came out of a relationship, the person I slept with after that also just got out of a relationship. We're like, brilliant.
Yeah.
We'll fix each other's problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing.
Rebound each other.
But
like,
also, if you do sleep with someone and you realise it's too early, that's okay. Be nice to yourself. We all make mistakes.
Exactly.
It's hard to know without a bit of trial and error.
Definitely.
Be nice to yourself, I think.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be, you know, if it wasn't an experience which was really, really negative, you just decided you weren't ready, it doesn't have to be like a big thing. You can just be like, whoops, and move on.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It doesn't have to, you don't have to feel so annoying about it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Say whoops and move on.
Say whoops and move on. Sometimes that's all you need to do. Yeah, like, exactly. Otherwise you can just really bring yourself down about stuff. And if it actually doesn't bother you that much, just be like,
whoops. Don't overthink.
Yeah.
I want those a wall sticker. Like, you know those horrible live, laugh, love wall stickers? Yeah. I want whoops and move on.
I'll make you one for Christmas.
Oh, please do. I love that so much.
Last time I tried anal, I didn't clean deep enough. During sex, all was going fine until about 20 minutes in. We'd used a lot of lube and I could smell something funny. We carried on until we looked down and realised that my shit... remnants. Sorry, I don't mean to laugh.
There's something funny about shit remnants.
Like, periods, I'm like, very serious. When you talk about shit, I just like, oof. Had mixed with the lube to create what can only be described as liquid poop. This ended up going all over my belly and I was so embarrassed. The guy was disgusted and quickly stopped. We didn't finish and I hurried to put my bedding in the wash. I then showered and tried to make light of the situation, but the guy barely spoke to me for the rest of the night. I haven't tried anal since and I'm absolutely terrified to try again.
That's a real shame.
What an asshole.
That guy sucks.
If you're
going near where the poop lives, you're going to see poop.
That's what I think. Like, if you're going to go up that hole, then it just...
You can't then be surprised to see poop.
It probably is going
to
smell a bit funny. Like, I just assumed that was part of anal.
Really. That's really that's annoying that he's, like, ruined that for you, because I think... I know people who have done anal, had similar experiences, but their partner's fine with it, so they're just like, oopsie.
And whoops
and move on. Just say whoops and move on. It's fine.
And it's really annoying that he's ruined that for you.
You should be able to make light of that situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it is going to be awkward. Like, having poo anywhere...
It's
going to be a bit weird, but like, if you're that just is going to be weird.
Yeah,
but you also should be with someone who's just like, oh well, what do I expect for going up that
hole? Or
someone
who's put off by that,
who just laughs with you and it's just like,
yeah,
shit happens literally.
That's
but
a shame.
I did also want to say about deep cleaning of your anus.
So stressful.
Like, some people, that's how they feel comfortable. That's how they want to work. You know, it's up to you how you clean your butthole. But it's not a necessary step.
No.
You do not have to douche in order to have anal sex. Most of the time, there is not going to be that much poop up there. Like, it, you know, it doesn't make sense that there'd be loads and loads of leftover shit in your anus.
Yeah.
Like, why would that happen?
Yeah.
Maybe there'll be a little bit. Maybe if you... get penetrated quite hard and fast, more might come out because that's your body's reaction. But yeah, it's not a completely necessary part of it. I think a lot of people are put off anal sex because they feel like they'd have to completely deep clean their butthole and like bleach it out.
It's like a whole deal.
I remember my friend was like, I really want to try anal with my boyfriend, but same time, I don't really want to have to put the whole shower head up my bum. And then she's like, and then I've got to like bleach my bum, and then I've also got to get one of those things to stretch it out so it doesn't hurt. And I was like,
none of this.
No. I was like, just go for
just
it.
Just lube up and try it out.
Yeah.
Also another good wall sticker to put on.
Lube up and try it out.
Maybe have a towel nearby.
Yeah.
Just in case.
Maybe don't do it on your favourite sheets.
Yeah.
Yeah, towels are a good idea. And I think also you've got to realise that it probably was a tiny amount of, what was it, shit remnants. Because if you combine that with lube, it's already multiplied a lot. And if you put it on bedding, everything looks massive.
Yeah.
So I like really wouldn't worry. It's just, it's one of those things. If you want to do
anal, he was a dick about that. Yeah, he definitely
just get someone who you, I think, trust and feel comfortable with. Because then if you have someone who you have like a nice relationship with, whether it's a relationship or just someone you like sleeping with,
yeah,
most people would laugh it off and be like, yeah, oops.
I think though it must be difficult because having someone like make you feel embarrassed about the situation is really horrible, because it makes you second guess the fact that
sorry to whoever.
Yeah, that
sucks.
Pardon the pun, shitty.
Yeah,
it's real shitty.
It's real shitty.
Because sex just involves liquids. It just does. It really does. It's just not a clean thing.
The grossest liquid.
But it's like this to this male. It's like being surprised that you have like whatever vagina liquid it is on your dick after having sex with a vagina. Yeah. Like it's there. Yeah. It's gonna be like that sometimes.
Yeah. And also explore your own butthole during like masturbation. Yeah. If you're really, really, really concerned about poop and things like that, try like explore around, see what's going on like with your own anus, and you will find out that there's not that much poop involved. There really isn't.
No.
And also you can just use a condom, and then poop doesn't go on anyone's skin anyway.
Yeah. A towel, I think, would
towel, condom,
because if you have like a black towel, you won't be able to see anything.
Yeah. And if there is a bit of poop, they could just wipe their dick on the poop on the towel, and then
wipe their dick into the poop.
Who cares? Has a scat fetish. Yeah, maybe they're into it. Like, who cares? It's just poop.
I would just say don't blame yourself, because like it's not your fault. It's him being a dick about it.
And yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
yeah. You should be secure in yourself and know
you have
that's
an amazing butthole. Because everyone does.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry that you got shamed for what your butthole does best, which is poop.
Yeah, exactly.
So true.
I love talking about anal sex.
Yeah,
it's I'm just like, love your butthole. It's a friend.
So it's like, anyway. I literally know nothing about it. I don't even know how I would go about douching.
No.
I don't know what's involved in that.
It's just flushing water into your butthole and then basically pooping it out.
So there's not like a specific thing you need?
You can buy like a little douche, which is like a kind of a ball with a nozzle on the top that you can fill up and squeeze into your butthole, but it's not necessary. You can do it wrong quite easily, and then you'll end up with the shits, which is the opposite of what you want.
Yeah.
If you go too deep, you end up getting like a full intestine sort of washout, and you're just gonna get the shits, which is the opposite of what you want.
Is it like giving yourself a colonic?
But yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like an enema.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, it's not. I think there is this kind of myth and rumour that that's necessary for, that's like a step in anal play, and it's not.
No.
It's really not.
So if you just go for a little poop in advance.
Watch what you eat for a few days.
Yeah. Maybe you know, like sweet corn, you know?
Make sure the outside of your butthole is nice and clean. Yeah, have a look. Just jump in the shower beforehand.
Maybe just squat down and just give it like a rub of some water out. What more can you do?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what more do you want?
Yeah.
How clean is your butthole?
Yeah. Yeah, they clean their butthole? Are they cleaning their dicks before they put it in?
Did they wash their hands before they fingered you?
Have you seen those pictures of, like, just, like, dirty nails? Him putting his fingers in your mouth or fingering you. Just, like, dirty nails. And like,
please wash your hands before you finger people. That goes to everyone.
Nails as well. That's probably why we all got fucking yeast infections.
Yes. Fingers like dirty-handed teenage boys.
Yeah, in the fields.
Yay.
Fun.
Okay, so the disjointed one.
Okay.
I had sex while on my period and sat on his face. What do you think about period sex / the taboo around it? That kind of links to what we were talking about before.
You had period sex and then sat on his face. I am so proud. I can actually cry.
Very jealous.
That makes you just. That's so exciting. Go fucking team.
Yeah, like, baby.
You do that. I've got tears in my eyes.
Oh my god!
I'm so excited.
I'm excited.
I would never have the audacity, but I wish I did.
Yeah.
I love period sex. I think it should be embraced. I think it should be done more. Throw down that old poopy towel from earlier.
And maybe just turn it the other way around.
Yeah, turn it the other way around. You can just wash it afterwards. And go to town. I was going to say, I'm excited to talk about dental dams. Dental dams.
Oh, yeah.
Both good for anal play and period sex.
What is dental dams?
Essentially, they're like thin sheets of latex, which is a condom-y feel.
Yeah.
And it's used...
Can just cut a condom in half.
Yeah, you can just cut a condom. And you can use cling film. Oh. And you just stretch it across the vulva or the anus, and it just acts as a barrier method, which is good for preventing STIs, but also good for period sex, good for anal play.
Okay.
Because if you're not game with putting your tongue into someone's butthole, then you can use a dental dam.
Okay.
Or if you don't
go start by the poop, we got it covered.
Yeah. Or if you want to go down on someone while they're on their period, you can stretch it across the vulva, and then you won't be licking blood. But they can still feel it.
Mm-hmm. Also, no shade about if you do just want to go down somewhere with a period, it's probably not going to taste that much different. It might taste a little bit metallic-y, but like, we've all sucked our own blood before, like from a cup.
I have gone down with someone while they're on their period before, and I did not even notice.
Yeah.
Really? Interesting.
Because, you know, again, it's like the butthole. It's not like you constantly have blood spurting out when you're on your period. Like, most of the time it's inside. It's like a
tap, right? Yeah.
It's like inside your vagina.
Yeah.
So if you are going down on someone
also, and just licking the vulva. Most of the time when you're lying down, it's not actually.
It's not going to just.
Yeah, literally. Yeah.
Although she went confident, she's satisfied.
Which is, I love that so much.
I enjoy that.
Yeah.
It's just, I feel like sitting on someone's face is already a big power move.
I love it.
She's just sat on the patriarchy's face.
Yeah, maybe.
On your face while you give me oral sex.
But for real, so you only like make it like a tablespoon of blood. Yeah. Like, is it every period or every day of the period?
Every period, I think.
Yeah.
You don't make that much.
Like, most of what comes out is like internal lining and just like discharge. Mm. So like the actual blood to other natural things is really so small.
Yeah.
So like when you go down some of their period, you're not really licking blood, to be honest. You're just kind of licking like
vulva
inside bits.
Yeah.
The stuff that you would lick anyway.
Yeah.
Like,
and also blood is an excellent lube.
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
So
Go for it. Why not?
That's what I think.
It's something I was definitely really uncomfortable with for a while. I think that's partially because I don't really feel that horny on my period. I feel a bit like, yeah. I think because of all the other things going on in my body, I'm like, ugh.
I do. Let me just be alone and work this one out. My period.
Yeah.
Never in the middle.
But not like, on those heavy days.
Not on those heavy days.
Don't come near me.
Don't look at me in the eye. But yeah, towards the end, I think my body goes, babies? And I'm like, no, but we can do the making
not all
bit.
The fun bit.
Yeah.
I think as long as if you're going to have period sex, you let the person you're about to have sex with know.
The conversation you need to be
if
having.
You just say,
I wouldn't say like you don't just be like, oh, and surprise, I'm on my period, and then sit on their face. I think people would be like, wow.
There's got to be a conversation there.
Yeah, and just check in and be like, I'm on my period, maybe like say how heavy it is, like, oh, it's a really heavy day, oh, it's a kind of light day, do you still want to do this? Because in my experience, most of the time, I'm just like, fuck yeah.
Yeah, I must say, I haven't had period sex a lot, mostly in the last couple of years, because I've been like, not confident in doing it. And I've never had anyone turn me down. I've never had someone being like, ew.
And I also think that
you're joking. Look at that.
Yeah, I'm just like, oh, by the way, I'm on my period, and they're like, cool.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's really that bothered.
Yeah, and I think interestingly, despite the fact I'm not that keen to have period sex. Like, I'm not opposed, but if someone I was sleeping with was opposed to it, that would really put me off. Then,
100%.
If they were a bit like, ugh, then I'd be like, do you hate women?
This kind of like goes back to high school myths. In high school, boys used to call it blowjob season.
Gross.
And one of my very first boyfriends, like serious boyfriends, who I like one of the first I had penetrative sex with, I said, oh, I'm on my period, and he was like, oh, that means it's like blowjob week. And I was like, fuck no.
If I'm not getting any, why the fuck are you getting any? Fuck you.
Also, about blowjobs, I don't understand. I still, it really annoys me, and it actually kind of made me feel really pressurized for a long time, this whole spit and swallow thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. kind of the idea that if
yeah.
you spit, it's really bad.
Yeah.
But like, surely I should be able to spit if I don't. If
mm-hmm. I, so you'd have to have someone come in your mouth.
Yeah, but that was never an option yeah. given to me yeah. when I was younger. It was just yeah. like, which one are you going to do? It wasn't just like, maybe don't even get to that point.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. yeah. And it kind of comes down to your consent thing as well. Because, yeah. obviously, I mean, people should be asking consent for everything. But, like, you can say yes to consent to having cum in your mouth,
mm.
but not necessarily consent to swallowing it.
Yeah.
yeah.
So I don't swallow ever.
Yeah.
I
yeah.
did once and I was like, goodbye, never again.
yeah.
And I will just spit it wherever. And people have, like, guys have said to me, like, oh, I thought you were going to swallow it. And I was like, no, you didn't ask me to. And I didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Like, it's just, that, it's definitely, just a weird, like, it's a liberational thing, I think, being able yeah. to just be confident enough to just be like, actually, you know what? Like, I didn't really want to do that.
Yeah. But then some people love swallowing cum. And that's yeah, also.
That's also
cool.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. So.
I only had cum in my mouth for the first time, literally. Like
2 days ago,
a week ago, yeah. yeah.
And she came over to my house and she was like, "Guess what I did this morning? I swallowed cum." And I was like, "Yay!"
I don't know.
What were your thoughts?
I liked it being in. I liked the like. I was like, "Ooh, it just came in my mouth."
Yeah,
but I didn't really like the way it tasted.
Definitely.
So I think. I enjoyed the act, but not necessarily. I think maybe next time I wouldn't swallow.
I think the other thing with me was that. You never know how much it's going to be.
Yeah.
I'm okay a little bit, but if yeah. it's just like a full on, you know,
wad,
I'm, yeah.
load.
Like I'm a mouthful.
Like, I don't want to have to do more than one swallow at least, you know what I mean? Like, that's disgusting.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, also the same with spitting as well, because sometimes if it's a lot and then you spit it, you've now made a mess.
Yeah.
And it's your responsibility to clean that up.
yeah.
Because you're like, I've
now it's
I've,
my liquid.
Yeah, I've never yeah. come before and kind of not really thought about it and kind of just spat it out. And then it just made this, like, stain on their bed sheets. And I could just, I was watching it just, like, get bigger and bigger. Yeah. And I was like,
that's going to seep into the mattress as
I'll
well.
Get, so I'll get just, some yeah. kitchen roll. Yeah. I was like, I'll be back. I'm sorry. That was all me.
Yeah.
yeah,
I think.
That's definitely.
You got to take responsibility for where and if you
I think it's a nice thing. It's a nice thing to talk about maybe before they come.
And yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
agree to it. Because yeah. I think that just makes life easier. Being like, I don't want you to come my mouth or, like, wherever.
Yeah.
Or, like. I don't know.
Yeah,
I
mean, no,
it's
definitely.
Just nice to maybe agree. No one wants surprise come.
No one wants surprise come.
No.
Also, a little heads up before you're going
to
come.
Yeah, yeah.
Because otherwise you're like, oh, I didn't, oh, it's not what I want.
yeah.
Just lots of communication.
Yeah,
always.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Slight sidetrack.
And the last one. Do you think there's a pressure on women to finish during sex?
Yes.
I think there's a pressure on both
yeah.
to finish during sex.
Yes.
I think there's almost more. I think it's more commonplace for women to not finish.
Mm-hmm.
Also, air quotes finish.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't. Did it say finish?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. An orgasm doesn't necessarily.
No, mean the end of
yeah.
sex. I think there's it's much more of a pressure for people with penises to.
To come
yeah, during
yeah.
sex.
Because that really is the finish.
Because it's like, yeah, it's thought of as the finish,
yeah.
the finish point. Like, once they've ejaculated, like, that's the end of sex, right? And also, it's a thing from porn with, like, the cum shot,
mm-hmm.
just like the money shot. but, like, a lot of men don't orgasm
yeah.
during sex,
mm-hmm.
and, like, they can still have a really good time. Like,
yeah.
women, like.
Sometimes I just can't be bothered.
Yeah, and sometimes
like,
you
I can have a great time.
The best time
yeah.
and still not come.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just like, cool.
Yeah.
It was still fun, though.
Like,
yeah,
that's
for sure.
The nice thing about being a woman that I think men probably don't have quite as much freedom with is the fact you can have a sexual experience,
mm-hmm.
not come, and that's kind of okay. Whereas I feel like for men, because the pressure is kind of on them
yeah,
to
and that's
end
a
the sexual act,
thing.
Which definitely needs to be deconstructed massively.
Mm.
Also, sometimes, like, after I come, I want to stop having sex. I'm bored and tired now.
Yeah, we'll go for a nap.
Yeah. Sometimes you're just like...
Mm. I agree. I think there is a lot of pressure on men to come. Definitely, definitely, definitely. But I think there has been a sort of... a rise in women demanding orgasms from sex, which has been a really good thing in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Because it means a lot of people are no longer having mediocre sex and being okay with it. They are kind of saying, look, I want you to make me come because I want to have this experience with you. I want to have an orgasm during this. So I think that's kind of then, in a way, put a lot of pressure on women that if they're not demanding their orgasm, if they're not doing this and they're not coming, then they're like a bad feminist or they're not sex positive. Like, then, I think, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think
that's a pressure as well.
You should rather, instead of demand an orgasm, just demand pleasure.
Yeah.
From both parties.
From both
parties. All parties.
Everyone involved. Yeah. Anyone and everyone involved. You should demand, like, a pleasurable, exciting, intimate experience rather than this goal that doesn't get reached every time. Like, I personally have found it really hard to orgasm recently on my own or with the person I'm sleeping with, because my anxiety levels have been really high recently because I've been using a lot of sex toys. So when I'm not using a sex toy, I find it harder. So I've banned myself from them for a while. So like a lot of the time I just don't, I mean, the only times I've actually orgasmed with the person I'm sleeping with have been when I've done it to myself, but in like a two-way mutual. Sort of, like, but that's absolutely okay. And like, neither of us feel stunted from the fact that we haven't been able to make each other orgasm, just because like we've had a wicked time anyway, and it doesn't really matter.
If your sex is goal orientated, is it really gonna be fun?
No.
Yeah,
it's a weird like ticking boxes.
Is anything you do that's got goals in it ever really that fun? It just makes me think of like PE or when you work in like a shitty retail shop and they're like, here's today's like target goal, profit goal, and you're like, oh, I don't care, I don't want to make like $9,000 for this stupid shop even though it's Christmas.
Literally,
I have a lot of like built up.
Taking me back as well. Jesus.
But, you know, that like why put the pressure on yourself? Why strive for this goal? Why feel like you failed?
Just view it as what it is and you'll get a good experience.
You go into it like, I'm gonna have fun, then you're probably gonna get fun out of it. But if you go into it and you're like,
I'm gonna come
yeah,
fun not come
I'm gonna start a sticker line.
I think you should.
At the same time, if you are desperate to come from sex, talk to your partner about it. Talk to yourself about it. Have a like a little romance with yourself and see what gets you off, and then communicate that with who you're sleeping with.
And I feel like that's 100% down to my like mood that day, because some days I can be really chill about it. Some days I'm like, no, we need to do this, otherwise I'm gonna hate you.
I think communication, my friends. You gotta communicate with your partner. If you don't tell them what you want from the experience, you're probably not going to get it because people can't read minds. And if what you want from that experience is just to get naked and touch each other and roll around on the bed with no real like end goal or pressure, then sick. I wouldn't join in. Like,
way more fun than
literally
doing the deed.
And also it's your sex, it's your relationship, it's your hookup. Like, it doesn't need to be like anyone else's, because no one else is involved.
There's no pressure, and you also don't compare it to what other people are doing.
Definitely,
no, you're absolutely not.
What you want to do is going to be completely different from what someone else can be. Someone might be really into anal and you've tried it and it made you feel really ill,
or
whatever turns you want. Some people love being fingered, some people hate it. Like, everyone's so individual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it depends on who you're with as well, because certain people you might be like, I'm really into this with this person, but I'm not into it with that person.
Yeah, your tastes 110% change with the person in front of you. Like, I've been in experience, like, I thought I had it down. I was like, I like this, and I like this. And then I've been with someone before and I was like, actually, I don't want to do any of that stuff. I want to do whatever we're doing now because this is fun with us together.
Yeah, literally.
I've had stuff that I thought I really didn't like, and then I've tried it with someone who I just had probably better communication with, and I was like, oh my God, this is great. Yeah. This is what I've been missing out on. It all makes sense now.
Mm-hmm.
So if, like, you know, you're doing a tried and tested method and you're still not having an orgasm, then mix it up, see what happens.
Maybe
try not thinking about having an orgasm. Just enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
I want this sticker line to come out.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. We've got some catchphrases from this episode. Yeah,
it'll be cool.
So we have pretty much got to the end of our overshare/ Project Overshare is a way better title than me stumbling over on names. That was so fun.
That was really fun.
We had a plan to start and we just talked about anything, everything, which is cute.
That tends to happen with us. We love a tangent.
Our entire show is a tangent.
But I feel like we didn't really know each other that much starting this, and now we know everything. We'll make a bond.
And you guys will have to come on with us. Yeah, a little slot, and we will learn even more about each other. There's nothing left.
Yes. Break down those boundaries.
Yeah, and also thank you to everyone who sent in Dana.
Yes, thank you. They were really interesting.
Thank you for coming. And if you keep the sections coming as well, because they're fun.
And keep coming.
Or don't keep coming.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Just have fun.
And watch out for new merch.
Yeah.
And everyone remember to follow our Instagram page, which is overshare.podcast.
Yes, it is, because I looked it up.
What's our Instagram?
And we are project3x_LSR.
You've got it so much better than us.
We're looking at each other like, what?
Every single time.
We've got it wrong every time. We've tried to tell people, so we have it down to a T now.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, go hit the link and
thank you for listening.
And thank you for coming on.
Thank you. Bye.
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 Bye.